Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be a part of this edition, you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, why give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, we trust that everyone had a wonderful Resurrection Day observation and celebration, and I hope that's the case for Richard Piper and Bob Christopher.
Well, indeed. I tell you, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, is just the most fabulous day of the year for believers. I mean, he's alive. That's the good news. That is the good news of the gospel, and because he lives, we live. Everything changes. Everything hinges on that fact. If he didn't raise from the dead, then we've got nothing. But he did come back to life. God did raise him from the dead. And we have hope, everlasting hope. And we're actually born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's the most exciting day of the year. And I hope pastors all over this country really took the time to tell the story. To really challenge people to believe that Christ was raised from the dead. Because that is the challenging aspect of the Christian faith, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We see that the disciples actually wrestled with that. I mean, they didn't go to the empty tomb thinking, oh, Jesus is alive. They went to the empty tomb thinking, somebody stole the body. We've got to find him. And every single one of them, and it wasn't until Jesus appeared to these disciples, to the women, and to the 500 others, that the news started to spread that just as Jesus said it would happen, he is alive today. We've seen him. We know he's alive. We've touched him. We've eaten with him. We've walked with him. So they became these witnesses of the fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And so this week we're going to take a look at some of those encounters that Jesus had with various people. And I think we're going to learn a lot about the very nature of God and his love for us in these personal encounters. And the first we're going to look at is the encounter he had with Mary Magdalene in the garden, just right after he had been raised from the dead. So the story is recorded for us in John chapter 20. And, you know, he had died, was crucified. Joseph of Arimathea took the body. He put Jesus's body in a borrowed tomb. The women had been watching all of this from a distance. And as they saw Joseph of Arimathea take the body, they went and prepared some spices. Now, they couldn't go and dress the body at that particular moment because the Sabbath was close at hand. So they waited throughout the entire Sabbath, and then early on the first day, they went to that garden tomb. Now, John just tells the story as through the eyes of Mary Magdalene. So we only see her in this particular recording, but we know there were other women with Mary. Now, verse 11 of John chapter 20, we read this, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" So she was not thinking that Jesus had been raised from the dead, that God the Father had raised him just as Jesus said that he would. She was thinking that somebody has stolen the body. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" So Mary is in tears. I mean, all hope was lost on that Friday when Jesus had died, and now it was just salt to the wound. I mean, this was just the worst nightmare that she could have ever imagined, that she couldn't even go in and dress the body with the ointments and the spices that are appropriate for burial. And so, why are you weeping? Jesus said to her, "Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him. I love that. Supposing him to be the gardener. Yeah. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. So Mary is still not thinking resurrection. She doesn't recognize Jesus. She's just simply saying, if you've taken him, if you know where he is, tell me. I will go and get the body and we'll take care of it. And Jesus said to her, and I love this, the first words out of his mouth in this deal, Mary, and she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Now, I love this particular encounter because Jesus is so personal. He calls her by name.
Right.
And we have to think that Jesus does exactly the same to each and every one of us. You know, we get to that point where hope is lost for us, where we're crying and weeping because life isn't what we thought it would be. And we're looking for answers. We're looking for that someone to come and make it all better. Well, that's Jesus. Just as Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, encountered Mary Magdalene in the garden, he encounters us. So we're not just being hit with a gospel, a story. We're encountering the living Christ. And in that encounter, Jesus calls us by name. And there's something so personal about the call of the gospel that our hearts respond and our hearts leap for joy. And we want to do nothing but cling to Jesus because we know in Jesus we found everything that we've been looking for. We don't know how he's going to answer all the deepest needs of our hearts, but in his presence, in that personal encounter, there's something so powerful and so wonderful and so connecting about that that we never want to walk away from his presence. And that's the good news of the gospel. He has promised to never walk away from us. He sends us his Spirit, and he is always with us. So what do we learn from this encounter with Jesus and Mary Magdalene? That Jesus knows us by name.
Personally.
Personally, every single one of us. He knows all about us, and when he sends the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds with the good news of the gospel, it's Jesus Christ himself calling us by name. I call that grace.
Wow. What a story.
Yes, indeed.
Incredible story, and that is grace and grace personified. Well, friends, after a great Resurrection Day observance and celebration, there seems to me to be a kind of a sense of urgency to get the word out. And the reason I say that is because as our listeners this month make their gifts to support Basic Gospel, we're going to be sending them not one, not two, but three excellent resources to really drive home the new life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bob, why three this month?
Well, it's just a package. We call it the Simple Gospel Gift Package. And it's the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Drive the Stake, and Eternal Life. These are the resources that really minister to people at the deepest level spiritually. These answer those age-old questions about forgiveness. Have I outsinned the grace of God? It answers the question about assurance of salvation. It answers the question about freedom. And so we wanted to put this package together and put it into the hands of as many people as possible as resources for their own personal growth and resources to help minister. I mean, we've all been called to be ministers of reconciliation, ministers of life, ministers of this new covenant. Well, we need to be equipped to do that.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
These resources are dynamic resources to help you in that regard, for you to be a minister of forgiveness and life to people in your sphere of influence. So come and be a part of Basic Gospel. Come and partner with us. Help us get this good word that Jesus is alive out to as many people. And when you partner with us, when you give your gift this month, request the Simple Gospel gift package. We would love to get that into your hands as quickly as possible.
That's quite a package. And, of course, as Bob said, these resources include his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the two CD messages, Drive the Stake, and This is Eternal Life. And that's what you're going to receive with your gift this month, our way of saying thanks for your gift in April. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, open lines, 844-322-2742. That's the same number, of course, and it's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or something you'd like to talk with us about. Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Guys, in the meantime, a question from a longtime dear friend in the Chicago area, Michelle. She would like some commentary on the thought that no matter what happens to us in life, God has allowed it. And if we knew what God knows, we wouldn't change a thing. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, life comes at us. I mean, we live in this world. God knows all about what's going on in this world. So nothing happens in this world or the universe without him knowing about it. But just because there are things that are opposed to God, that there are obstacles and barriers that we have to overcome as far as learning to experience our walk with God and really living in abundance here through faith in Jesus Christ, none of that thwarts God's plans for our lives. I mean, Satan is a powerful being, a powerful angelic being. He took kind of the world by the horns and said, "This is mine, and I'm going to control it and manipulate it, and do everything I can to steer people away from the truth of God and this plan of salvation that's available in Christ Jesus." And God knew all about that. But that didn't stop him from sending Jesus. I mean, Satan couldn't stop that plan from happening.
And he tried.
And he tried. He gave it his best shot. And he was utterly defeated at the cross and made a public spectacle by that death of Jesus Christ. And we are victorious. We have overcome that through faith in Jesus Christ. So, yes, things come at us, but it doesn't stop the plan of God. And so we have to recognize that just because life throws things at us, that's not God picking up those things and throwing them at us. That's not God saying, "Oh, look at Richard down there, look at Bob down there, or look at Stephen down there. Hey, they're getting a little cocky. I need to put a test on them to make sure that they're to make sure that they're loyal to me," and those sort of things. God isn't like that. He's not testing us in those regards. Life is the test itself, and he has come to live inside of us and to empower us to move through those things. So when we come out the other side, our faith is maturing, it's stronger, not because the faith itself is stronger, but because we have a greater understanding of the love of God and just how big God is. So, yeah, God knows about everything, but he's not causing everything.
Yeah.
Life just happens. Mm-hmm. And so we don't need to lay everything at the foot of God. We can trust that he's going to work in and through those things for our good, for our benefit, for our ultimate joy, so that we can experience a harvest of righteousness. So it's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah, and I used to wrestle with this a lot when I was younger. I mean, one of my favorite questions to the people who came to our school to do Bible studies was, "Well, if God knew that we were going to sin, why did he create us in the first place?" Mm-hmm. And nobody could ever give me an answer. And I finally came to the conclusion, thanks to a lot of things that God had taken me through, that my question about God in that context could be answered by another question, which was, "Well, do you care about that person and their suffering?" And I had to say, "No, I care about me and my suffering, the hard things I'm going through."
Yeah.
And so I found out I was trying to control God by what I thought was a really intelligent question. Mm. And when I stopped asking that question and said, "Okay, Lord, what is it that you have for me in this?" things began to change. That that doesn't mean I go around looking for trouble, because I still hate trouble. All of us do. You wouldn't be sane if you didn't. But there's something more than just my comfort. I was selfish, and I had to deal with that selfishness. And God actually uses some of these circumstances He didn't cause to help me get over my selfishness. And then everybody wins.
Yeah.
And we certainly see that. We see that in the life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Satan was trying to control that, manipulate that. And certainly the Jewish leaders were complicit with that plan. The Romans were complicit with that plan. The most powerful empire that's ever been, the Roman Empire. And then the Jewish leaders, their strong devotion to what they thought was the righteousness of God, and trying to, end this imposter, what they thought of as an imposter. But none of that, those were obstacles, but none of that stopped the plan of God. Mm-hmm. God raised Jesus from the dead, and death will never have the final word in the human story. So we have to recognize that God is bigger than all of this, and we can trust him through thick and thin.
Absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. Again, we have open lines and some time on the clock, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. You know, audio is great, but, you know, video really adds just a little bit of pizzazz, and you can try it for yourself and see what goes on inside the studio every day here at Basic Gospel. Just get the video stream of the daily program on either our Facebook or YouTube channel. We would love to kind of look back through the camera at you if we could.
Yeah, pizzazz. That's what it is.
Yeah. Question from Corey. He says, I was asked by Christians about receiving the mark of the beast. It isn't mentioned anywhere in Revelation about Christians being able to receive this mark. If a perceived Christian receives this mark, then were they really a Christian to begin with? Can you help me out on this? That's from Corey, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app, by the way.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Corey. Good question as well. A Christian can never receive the mark of the beast. We've already received the mark of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the deposit guaranteeing that we belong to the Lord, and that when the Lord returns, we're going to be with him, and we're going to be with him forever.
Yeah.
So we've already been marked out by God. We are new covenant believers. We are a part of the people of God, and that's good news. And I think if you read the book of Revelation, you will see time and time again how that's the case, that God has marked us out. So we have absolutely nothing to fear.
Yeah.
So if somebody receives the mark of the beast, and you know, we're thinking about that in terms of some electronic thing that they'll have to take, the mark of the beast is in a lifestyle, unbelief, rejection of Christ.
That's a mark for sure.
That's the ultimate mark, the fact that somebody has rejected Jesus Christ and said, I don't want any part of this life that he is offering. I want to do my own thing. So you're marked out that way. But as far as believers are concerned, we've already been marked out by Christ. That's great news, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, think of a mark, especially in Bible times, as something that became permanently visible. Well, if that's the case, then this mark of the beast would have to be someone's permanent, irrevocable decision to have rejected Jesus. That's why a person should be afraid of it.
Yeah.
People who have accepted Jesus are past that. But all the way through, well, not all the way through Revelation, but through much of Revelation, there is this undercurrent that the repentance is available, and people refuse to repent, and there comes a point where that rejection is permanent, and they no longer have that offer. There's the tragedy,
yes,
that they refused the offer of life, the easiest thing in the world to attain, but they refused it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question, Corey, and there are many ways to get a question to us here at Basic Gospel, and Corey used a great one, the Basic Gospel app. We hope you'll download it if you haven't already. A question from Nye says, my understanding is the King James versions, both the original and the New King James Version, is based on parts of the Latin Vulgate written by Jerome. There are articles that say that the Latin Vulgate has mistranslated many words in the original Greek manuscripts in order to control the Catholic masses. If the King James Version also is influenced by the Latin Vulgate, that may explain the widespread conditional salvation and hell doctrine preached in most evangelical denominations. What is your thought, and which English translation do you feel most closely mirrors the original manuscripts written in Greek, both in terms of word for word and thought for thought? That's from Nye, who wrote to us through our YouTube channel.
Well, we appreciate that. That's a great question. Which Bible do you trust? Which translation do you trust? Is there one that is more trustworthy than others? And certainly the King James Version has found a place within the English-speaking world as a beloved translation. He is right. A big portion of it was translated from the Latin Vulgate, what Jerome worked so diligently on, third or fourth century, to take the Greek into the Latin. It does use some other manuscripts. The thing about the King James, when it was being translated in 1611 or the few years before that, there was just a small number of manuscripts available.
Yes. It was the best they could do
at that particular time. And a lot of those manuscripts were dated about 1000 A.D., so 1,000 years after, really, the time of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Well, in the meantime, archaeologists have done their good work, and they have found thousands and thousands and thousands of manuscripts. And so they've looked at all of these, and the good news is that those dated around 150 A.D., and those dated around 1000 A.D., there's not a lot of variation between those. The message was very consistent. There may be some errors as far as punctuation and little things like that, or a misspelled word here or there, but overall, the message is exactly the same. But modern-day translations, they have taken those manuscripts that are dated earlier, and so they've come up with translations like that. So the New American Standard is a translation that is more word for word.
Yes.
But let me put it out there. It is impossible to do a word for word translation. Why? Because the underlying Greek conveys too many meanings that can be captured in a single word. And so it could be this or that. So we have lots of great translations available out there. My suggestion to all of us is that we take advantage of the wealth of our resources. Yes. So instead of just picking one translation, pick a number of them, compare them, put them side by side, and then, and here's the key, trust the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see the real meaning of these things. So we use the English Standard Version here quite a bit. I really like that. It has the dynamic of word for word in some, but thought for thought. And I think it's a really well done translation. But find one that you really like, that you feel comfortable with. Read it, and then trust the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what this passage, what this chapter, what this book, what this New Testament is saying, what this Old Testament is saying about the person and work of Jesus Christ, because he is the story of the Bible.
Indeed. Well, Nye, thank you for your question, a thought-provoking question. We appreciate it. You know, three excellent resources are yours when you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. They are the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and two excellent CD messages called Drive the Stake and This is Eternal Life. Resources that can deepen your understanding of the grace that we've received and the love and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or online at basicgospel.net. Well, we thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.